Okay, let's go ahead and begin in prayer. We thank you, Father, again for the time we can spend looking at these important things for life. And we pray that you'll say something to us that will be helpful to us and helpful to others as well. Thank you for your word that gives us all we need for our inner persons. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. We are now into open love. So we have been studying love. What is love? What is agape love? For the last, I think, about 20 weeks, I think it's been, that we have looked at love and applications of love in life. And, of course, as we've gotten into our applications, we've talked about openness in love. That is love openly expressing itself. But now we're going to particularly focus on love, agape love, and how it does or should openly express itself in our lives. So if you have a book, page 67, we're going to read three or four brief paragraphs as introductions. The Christian's inner life alternates between two realities, page 67. At any given moment, he is either filled with God's agape love and moving in the direction of maturity in that love, or he is lacking agape love and moving in the direction of spiritual stagnation. Since the goal of the believer's instruction in the Word of God is that it produce God's agape love in him, 1 Timothy 1:5, it is to God's glory and to the believer's blessing that he grow in that love. Of this blessing, James 1:25 states that the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. And then there's a quote from Alan Johnson. The perfect law summarizes God's just precepts into two all-encompassing demands: a thoroughgoing love for God and neighbor. And then scriptures in Mark and Luke and Galatians for that. As one abides in that perfect law of liberty, the law of love, through the enablement of the Holy Spirit, it will produce peace of conscience. It will impart happiness of a high order to his mind. It will exact a good influence over his whole soul. That's a quote from Albert Barnes. Agape love, however, is not simply meant to sit complacently within the believer's heart. It is meant to be openly expressed both to God and to man. And another quote, this is from John R. Stott. Indeed, whether shown to God or man, agape love is practical and active. Love for the brethren expresses itself in deed and truth, in sacrificial service, love for God in keeping his commandments. And so in that last brief paragraph of two sentences, love's expression is, in fact, its ultimate fulfillment. God loved the world, so he gave his Son to pay the penalty for the sins of the whole world. And then passages there in 1 John and Romans and 2 Peter. God the Son loved the Father, and so he obeyed him even to death. So, what we're saying here is that love abides in the heart. That's where we have love. That's where our motive for doing agape loving things is. And it happens at the moment that we're controlled by the Holy Spirit. So, if we are walking by the Spirit, we have his agape love. It's not necessarily an emotion, but we have his agape love in our lives. If we're walking by the flesh and we confess our sin, the moment we do, then we have agape love in our hearts. Now the question is this. why not just let it sit there? I mean, agape love is there. Because the fulfillment of agape love is its open expression. It's like true faith leads to works, right? Well, true love, God's agape love in our hearts, does lead to its open expression, not necessarily at every moment toward other people, but but it is there as motive. It is there as in its essence in our hearts, and it should be expressed to God and to other people. There is timing, however, that is important for agape love. What types of things would indicate our timing for openly expressing love? What things would give us guidance as to timing? We have love in our hearts, timing for openly expressing it.
An inner urging.
Okay, an inner urging, and there's something that would be tempering or guiding that inner urging. Because we've all had it have inner urgings that are not right, right? Okay, so what would guide those inner urgings in our life?
Conscience?
Yes, that's true, conscience. Though our consciences might not be sensitive to certain things. So what would be the objective standard by which our inner urgings would be guided?
Filling of the Spirit?
Yes, the filling of the Spirit, and that goes on inside. I'm looking for, that's subjective inside. Yes, Paula?
Compassion?
Compassion, yes, because that's part of agape love. Carol, you had something?
I'm just thinking, are you looking for something like seeing a need and filling it?
Well, that's important too. All right, Mike?
I need the Word of God, devotion
to it. That's what I was looking
for. And it is a major motivator of the heart.
Yes.
You know, you might not have that motivation in the morning,
yes,
but you read the Word, and believe me, it's powerful. It moves, and the interior part of your heart is moved by it.
Yes, good. So we're evaluating by what we know of the Word of God, right? And that's how the Holy Spirit speaks to us, through the Word of God. So that's one of the reasons that it's important to be into the Word of God, because God guides us, God speaks to us in the Word of God. So, yes, our inner urgings, our consciences, and all these other things that are mentioned are involved. As far as timing goes, or as far as something being a loving attitude, it is... We're always evaluating by the Word of God, and God guides us by the Word of God that we know. Interestingly, He doesn't guide us by the Word of God we don't know, right? So how can we know it? You probably have not received much guidance from Obadiah recently, because you may not know Obadiah very well. Of course, that's a book of judgment law. But there are certain things. But there are other scriptures that we know, and God guides us through those things. And sometimes it's not quite the right timing for saying something. There aren't too many wrong times to express a praise, an appreciation, or something. Though there might be. Somebody is involved in something else. Something that is taking their attention, and that may not be the right time to express a praise or appreciation. But how about a correction or a sharing of something of a more difficult nature? Timing would be involved. So, yes, we evaluate it by the Word of God, but this needs to have a particular thing. The scripture doesn't say, if this person is doing this, or if this situation is present, then that's the right time. How do we know the right time? How do we know the right time for sharing something, for communicating open love in a certain way? Yes, Lila.
Asking God.
Yes, yes. He's the one that knows the right timing, right? I didn't time her with these answers, by the way.
First one wrong.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, let's have somebody look up Psalm 32:8. Psalm 32:8. There are places in Scripture, several places in Scripture, especially in the Psalms, where the subject goes, or where the speaker goes right to the Lord. It's what the Lord is saying, not what the psalmist is saying, okay? And this is one of those instances. Some people say, well, this is the psalmist talking to us. Tell me why that is a difficult position. I don't understand how you can take that position. In Psalm 32:8, it's right in the middle of the psalm. It doesn't say the Lord says, but it is something that the Lord says. Someone read it to us.
I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you.
Now, why would that not be the psalmist, and that needs to be the Lord, to saying this?
Well, because man's fallible, so you would want man to teach you which way to go and what to do, because that's...
Okay. That's good. Man is fallible, though. A man is writing this, but he is moved along by the Holy Spirit, so we know that this is correct, that he is teaching and instructing us. But why would this have to be the Lord saying it?
David's dead. He has no involvement in my life right now.
Okay, that's good. That's a good idea. That's right.
He's dead.
Okay. Yeah, he's dead, but who is alive? Who guides us with his eye upon us? And that's clear from the next Psalm, Psalm 33. The Lord is speaking there, and he says, and the scripture says, he guides us with his eye upon us. The one who has his eye upon us is not the psalmist. The one who has his eye upon us is the Lord. So, all right, I will instruct you and teach you. Okay, Lord, I know I need to say something. Maybe even a praise. Maybe even an encouragement. One of the things that I appreciate about Mike is that he is an encourager. There are very many times that I've talked to him, and he's communicated encouragement either to me or to somebody else, or he says something about that, and that's just that's what the Lord has called him to do. Okay, but there are times that an encouragement, singing songs to a hurting heart, for example, there's an encouragement of comfort, but just to say, well, it's a wonderful day, isn't it? And you're so, you know, this and that. That's not the right timing. Who knows the right timing? The Lord knows the right timing. And so timing has to do with our knowledge of the Word of God. We evaluate the various things. Has to do with God's moving in our hearts. And then what do? We step out in faith. Why is it difficult sometimes to praise or appreciate or encourage or comfort somebody? Now, that might not be difficult for you, but why do you think some of us have a difficult time with that?
What if you have indifference toward that person over issues, and you know, okay, you allowed some kind of a barrier or resistance to talk to that person?
Okay, good. And John?
sometimes you think, well, if I give them praise, they'll struggle with being proud.
Uh-huh.
They might take it too far, all that stuff.
Sure. Okay. And so we're blocked from communicating something that could be very good and encouraging and helpful. And it's possible that they might get puffed up about it. But that's not my responsibility, right? It is more likely, actually, that that they would be very grateful and encouraged. Sometimes people that talk about themselves a lot and this kind of thing, who are proud already, are people that need true, sincere praise anyway. And in fact, they really appreciate that, John.
And we are, as people, we are more wired to be negative about others.
Okay.
To focus on negative things about others.
At least some of us are.
Yeah.
And I would include myself.
I would have myself.
Yes.
Yes,
but sure. Isn't underneath that the lack of love? Because you're not putting the other person ahead of yourself.
That's good.
Yeah. I would just think there's a root to all of that.
Okay, good. Yes. What would keep us from openly expressing love that needs to be openly expressed? The Word of God is guiding us in that direction. We think it's the Lord's timing. And so, what happens then if we don't communicate open love in that kind of a situation? It gets to where Sherry was going here. If I have love in my heart, I should express it at this moment, as far as I can tell, and I've missed times. I'm sure you have too. You've lived long enough to miss some of those times. And so what has happened when I don't communicate it?
I think the Lord gives us a strong correction.
That's right, because of a lack of love in our hearts.
Because we didn't follow through on what he was urging us to do.
Yes. And so isn't it interesting, we can go from love openly expressed to a lack of love not expressed.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of interesting. I mean, it's a lack of love and we're not expressing it. Now there are times when you can have an unloving attitude and come out with a flowery thing.
Mm-hmm.
Insincere, other motives, not really love. That's not a good relationship. We'll get into that as we continue on. So we want to openly express it. Why is it difficult then to express something that's been hurtful to you? A gentle correction, or maybe even a firm correction, but let's just say even a gentle correction to somebody. Something of a negative nature, or a nature where I'm not on the same page that they are. Why is that difficult? Yes, Reggie.
I think what I'm about to say can be applied to both sides.
Mm-hmm.
The missed opportunity where somebody says, I just heard of the death in the family of this individual, and I want to express my condolence, or I want to somehow help to lift their grief even just a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but I don't say it. So that's the missed opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the not responding when you miss that opportunity. And I think there's sometimes people who are afraid of rejection. And they're afraid that if I tell you how you've offended me,
it
may get worse. Yes. You may just say, you think that's bad, wait till I tell you this. or the other side, you want to help that individual who's grieving, and you say, gosh, what do I say in a case like this?
Yes.
That was a very bad tragedy that their family went through, and
yes.
that they're hurting. Do I say, oh gosh, I went through this too, or what do I say?
Yeah.
And so people will think, because I don't know what to say, I might be rejected on both of those counts.
Okay, good. That is a key, isn't it? It can be a key. Some of us are more open, all right? And that's a good thing. Some of us are not as open. Some of us are more closed. But we need to grow in the direction of openness, but openness in love. The person who is more naturally open needs to grow in love more, so that their openness is in love. And the one who's more, who tends more not to be open, needs to open up with the love that is there. And of course, we all need to grow in love. But isn't it often my pride that I just don't want to risk rejection? I don't want to risk what the other person may think of me. Timing is an important thing, but timing and communicating it at the right time is important, and that's what the next to last paragraph goes into there about the importance of openly expressing love when the love is there in our hearts. Then over on page 69, the first full paragraphs, the two full paragraphs there. This is not to say that the Christian who is walking in agape love will never experience trials and tribulations. On the contrary, he has promised them as a result of following Christ and as a means to his further maturity in him. But God promises not to allow him to be tempted beyond what he is able in Christ to endure, 1 Corinthians 10:13. Let's have someone look that up, 1 Corinthians 10:13. Then even in the midst of his trials, he can walk in love and openly express that love. And then there's some passages there. There are passages probably that you know, but as the Apostle Peter said, I tell you these things by way of reminder. He was going to pass away. And so what does he leave them with? Some great new revelation they'd never heard before? No, he was going to leave them with something they'd heard before, but remind them of it. God continues to remind us of things, so we're going to read those passages also. Romans 5, 3-5, James 1, 2-4, and verse 12, 1 Peter 3, 13-17, and 1 Peter 4, 12-19. So let's read 1 Corinthians 10:13 first.
No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it.
So when we should openly express love, we're reticent to do so. Stepping out and doing it by faith is an important thing. Whatever the results might happen from the other person, they could be very positive, they may not be. Our open love expressed does not mean that they will receive it in the best way. The friend, however, will appreciate it. The person who's really not a friend may not appreciate it at all. Who has Romans 5, 3-5? James 1, 2-4, and verse 12. So those, let's look at those two first. Romans 5, 3-5.
And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us.
So it's good to know that God's love can pour through our hearts even in trials, tribulations, and difficulties. James 1, 2-4.
Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing.
And then verse 12.
Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him.
And 1 Peter 3:13-17, and somebody else read 1 Peter 4:12-19. 1 Peter is an epistle of suffering, really, and how to react in suffering, how to respond to suffering. 1 Peter 3:13-17, 1 Peter 4:12-19.
3:13, and who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is within you, yet with gentleness and reverence. And keep a good conscience, so that the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile you, your good behavior in Christ, may be put to shame. For it is better, if God should will it so, that you suffer for doing what is right than for doing what is wrong.
So it's such a minor thing, isn't it, when we hold back and we don't know how the other person will react to our open expression of love to them, and so we don't do that, but we can, and so it comes down to, well, however they might react, whatever might be their response, I need to do this at the right time, in the right way, in the right attitude, agape love. And God will use it. And how about 1 Peter 4:12-19?
Beloved, do not be afraid at the fiery trial among you, which comes to find you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you're blessed, because the Spirit of glory of God rests on you. Make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer, as a thief, or an evildoer, or a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he's not to be ashamed, but it is to glorify God in this name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God, and if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome of those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is with difficulty that the righteous are saved, what will become of the godless man and the sinner? Therefore, those also who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right.
And that's the bottom line, isn't it? Entrusting ourselves to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. Good preaching, good teaching, very difficult living, right? But thank the Lord, possible in our lives, moment by moment. Under the for your considerations, we've been talking about openly expressing love to other people. How about openly expressing love to God? We're going to get into that in just a minute after our prayer time, but how can, and so here's a question: how consistently open are you? Not I don't want volunteers here. To God, about your disappointments, concerns, hurts, and griefs. Now, notice those are not things we're responsible for in the sense of right or wrong. We can be disappointed. I've often been disappointed in the Lord. It's not because he's wrong. It's because I had a different plan, right? But sometimes you're disappointed because your team doesn't win, Well, there's nothing right or wrong about that. You just kind of hooked yourself up with your team. disappointments are not not necessarily right or wrong, but I am concerned, the same thing there. Sure, worries are issues we need to confess to the Lord, but not concerns. We need to be concerned about things. Hurts, nothing right or wrong there. Griefs, nothing right or wrong there. Why should we openly express ourselves to God about those things? We're not confessing them. Why should we?
Well, you're putting your trust in Him to help you with those rather than you keeping them and trying to deal with them yourself.
Important. Important thing. That really is an open expression of love to God. You're saying to Him, I need you. I need you in this disappointment. I need you in this concern, in this hurt, in this grief. An important thing, yes.
Casting all your cares upon Him.
Yes, yes. Gail said that's his verse for this week. Casting all your care on Him, for He cares for you. Interesting. And how about your hopes? They can be neutral too. Joys can be neutral. It can be just a common joy, a common a happiness about something. You were able to move into your house that you wanted to get, or whatever, or something as simple as you got the green light instead of the red light, right? I mean, that's where we live, right? And thanksgivings, too. We can even thank the Lord for those simple things, right? And they can be open expressions of love to Him. All right, let's go ahead in our groups for sharing. And just share a praise or a prayer request. Does everyone have a letter? Okay, I guess everyone has a letter. A's, B's, C's, D's, and E's. Are you a D?
No, I'm a nobody.
Oh, you're a nobody. Okay, well, let's see what the bridge looks like.
That's what I was kind of waiting for.
Yeah, good.
Same as you. Are you in this group?
Yeah.
Okay.
We only have two.
Carry a chair.
Make sure you get to here. I got here about a half hour early, and they already had it all set up.
Amos 4, verse 13, which really gives credit to the Creator for what we have been witnessing. It was just a refreshment in the power of the Lord. And what He's given us to enjoy and to remind us of His power and His greatness and His blessing. So that was a significant day for us all the way around. Full day of blessing. If you go up there, go to Black Hawk, because it's just loaded with aspects that change colors, the contrast, everybody's
Well, that's why holidays sort of
trials with
God, whatever happens, God knows.
the ramifications of what happens with the neighbors and with Rebecca's years down the line. And he knows all his ramifications. I don't. I'm just looking at it right now. And so it helps for me to remember that. I'm trusting somebody who has all the ramifications.
Yeah.
Always
You know, your position in the family is so pivotal to, you know, like the encouragement and the physical levels of faith that you have, and all of that. You suffer and incur the fear side of things, and the perfect love that your dad is talking about. The Bible says, cast your love on. So, you know, and you're such a key person, just absolutely key, because that your words and your faith are just like a healing bond to her.
Music that maybe I've already heard many times, you can get through a lot of scripture that way.
Yeah, when you commute any distance at all, that's very significant.
Sure. And pray for the person on your left.
Well, we're just humbled that you asked us to come before you, that we have access to the throne. We're just so grateful for that. And we're grateful because we know that you know us. You know what's right for us here, because you have the full plan of things that we don't see that. We just ask that you give encouragement to every girl since trial. You guarantee that you will go through trials. It's hard for us to accept, but we know you have the master plan, and we know that every trial has a purpose. And that purpose is your glory. Strengthen us, fill us, also ask that you give charge of that faith in the and to put that on you to let you work all things to your glory. It's just that it's your will that you work orders in this situation and heal where there's healing. You've always kept me just to slay that at your feet.
A model of thank you for sisters on the trip. Do you want to assist? This was my rock yesterday. It's kept me in a visual picture. Thank you for us. I'm getting my ancient math. So many of and that's why I care so much about you. More knowledge of detail. And so we work together. So many things. You know so much beyond what we know and what we're aware of and why we're aware of. Thank you that we can trust you. Thank you for the encouragement that you gave Mike and everybody else on the trip yesterday. For the great trip it was.
and thank you for that. I pray for Donna to be still out of the country as people have blessed him. He's walked with you. He's meeting the needs of the family. He knows his kids as well. So teach us, thank you.
Lord, I just want to thank you for the Kingler family and for this, their fervent faith and faithfulness. As we learn, pray especially for Linda as she sorts out the priorities in her day, that you would just strengthen her and draw her to your word in ways. That's great. Learning and great lessons. And thank you for this report on Will and for the choices that he's making. Just pray that the friends that he develops would be really life-learning influences and learning lessons for them, from the teachers and from theology that also establishes his way. If he gives it his whole heart, so Lord, just thank you to this body of believers that is all we can share each other's burdens and how we can serve each other. Lord, we just pray that we would keep the priority of Jesus first, others second, and ourselves in last, third, the most important position to keep ourselves not only first, but that we keep you first.
Wrapping it up first quickly, we're going to get back into our study. Looks like there are donut holes in the back there too for anybody who's interested.
Meditations of our hearts will be acceptable.
All right, go ahead and get into a comfortable seat for you.
I hope so. I'm really
It occurred to me that as we were sharing and praying that in our little groups we are openly expressing love to both each other and to God. To each other by listening, by bearing one another's burdens, and to God by praying, right? Bringing all these things to the Lord. And so we're having an opportunity to practice what we're talking about here in a small way and to gather together. And then, of course, at church in general and throughout our lives. On page 71, we're looking into open love to God. And then we'll look at four basic kinds of human relationship. That'll be the next chapter. We'll get to that in maybe two or three weeks, Lord willing. We'll get examples of each. So notice, if you have a book, notice open love to God is introduced here. And then there are examples of how we openly express love to God from the Scripture. It is the noting that that the Scripture indicates that we should openly express love to God in certain ways. and then practical applications for each. And that's the way it is with Open Love to Man as well. So we're going to be doing a lot of application as we go along. First, I want to ask you this question. It's on page 71, the first paragraph, which is two sentences. The question may be advanced, why, if God knows all things, should the believer openly express his love to God? After all, God sees the love in his heart anyway. He knows all things, so why openly express it?
You can almost flip that question around and say, okay, God loves us, but he never shows it. How do we know for sure?
Oh, okay.
But anyway.
Okay. All right. All right. Yes, Donnie.
Well, I mean, it's like, you know, my wife, I know she loves me, but I like her to show it. I mean, of course, it's just part of, I guess, human nature. If we, you know, we enjoy it and being created in God's image, I have to imagine that he enjoys our expressing our love for him. So.
Absolutely. The scripture even says that he enjoys our communication with him, loving communication with him. Right?
Yeah, and also on the other side of that, we need to do it because it's exercise. And
yes.
The more you get to say, Lord, I love you and I thank you, you become a thankful person.
Good.
As opposed to saying, like the old cowboy laying on the bottom bunk and he had a little prayer that he would put on the top bunk and he'd look at it and he'd say, it was the Lord's prayer, our Father which art in heaven. He'd say, Lord, them's the sentiments. And he'd go to sleep.
Right. Not much there, is there? Yes, Carol.
I was going to express the same thing that Reggie did, but actually, you think of Kevin and Sitter on the Roof, when he said to his wife, if I decide that I don't love you anymore, I'll let you know.
Oh, yeah. Right. That was a real nice relationship. And there is something, isn't there? The Apostle Paul said, not that I desire the gift, but I desire the fruit that may abound to your account. So it's two sides. Number one, God does enjoy our open love expressed to him. Number two, we need to do it to grow in that love for him. And so it's not just a selfish thing to God. But it's a relationship thing, right? And in fact, life is relationships. That's really the essence of life. It's relationship with God and relationship with other people. And that really is the comprehensiveness of life. Is that we are relating to God and we're relating to other people. And so we will pick up, Lord willing, at the top of 72, and we'll go into some things that are open expressions of love to God: obedience to his command, time in his word, prayer, entrusting oneself to God, thanksgiving, worship, using one's spiritual gifts, and whatever one does. That kind of includes everything, doesn't it? So let's have a little word of prayer as we close. Thank you, Father, for your love for us, and that it was openly expressed and continues to be openly expressed. Whether we sense it or not, and we thank you for your love for us so that we then can love you and can love other people. Make us channels of your love, we pray today, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.